This is Mae Brussel, and it is the second half of a one-hour broadcast called World Watchers, in case you picked it up in the middle of the first half hour. And I'm going to begin now what will be a long series on the Nicaraguan airplane that was downed with the one survivor, Mr. Eugene Hasenfuss, and the reaction of our government, the statements they made, and the importance of this particular event at this time. I got a letter from a subscriber to World Watchers just recently, and he asked me, how do you approach a subject when it happens, a current subject, how do you go about collecting information to come to the conclusions you do? And being as this is really the first broadcast I'm doing on the Nicaraguan plane, and it's already been a month since it went down, maybe you can follow the way I extract the material and see how the story develops. First of all, I make a notebook for a subject this plane's having been shot down took place or was exposed on October the 7th. It actually went down on the 5th, and we learned about on the 7th. So I make dividers for every day of the month, say for 2 months, because many of these big stories, a lot comes out without the first 2 months, and then it unfolds more slowly later. People are anxious to get in on the early stories, and the early stories tell you quite a bit. So I take every article that I have and put it into a time slot, like October the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and then extract from it and put into charts and diagrams what I'm seeing in these articles without taking the repetition, sort of like a sieve, taking it out. And as you do that, if you're familiar with certain names and dates or places or questions, then I make notes on those and go about it that way. Now, the very moment the plane went down, and I'll share those stories with you, the item said that there were three Americans that were killed on the plane, and Mr. Hasenfuss took he jumped out with his own parachute that his brother had given him, and the other three died. They were three Americans. Then within 24 hours or 48 hours, depending who was writing the story, there were two Americans on the airplane that were identified as the pilot and co-pilot by Mr. Hasenfuss, and a Nicaraguan that they picked up in Honduras. Now, it will be a month, just 2 days from now, since the plane went down, and there has not been an identification, as far as I know, to the fourth passenger. Now, considering the cast of characters, I thought it was very important, because Mr. Hasenfuss named two people that I just referred to on the program last week. Then one of them was involved with the murder of Che Guevara, and Klaus Barbie also had a role in the murder of Che Guevara and hiring the CIA and helping them locate Guevara. So those linkages to Che Guevara then go on to the P2, to Licio Gelli, to Stefano Della Chiaia, and the Italian Permandex operation that is so effective in killing leaders of this sort or elected leaders such as John Kennedy, or a candidate such as Robert Kennedy. So the other person named by Mr. Hasenfuss had direct links and was involved and was in jail for blowing up Air Cuba when George Bush was director of Air Cuba. And because our Congress had not allocated the $100 million, which came a few days later, it was illegal to send military supplies. And Mr. Hasenfuss said he worked for the United States government in El Salvador, the military, and he was CIA, and his wife said he was CIA. So given that cast of characters and situations, I wanted to know who the fourth person was who died, who wasn't identified, because often that is suppressed for a reason. I called our Monterey Herald Thursday, this last Thursday, and spoke to the head of the press department on the Nicaraguan story, and they said they didn't know. And they suggested that I call San Francisco and find out if they knew who this fourth person was. So I called the Associated Press. They said Associated Press in San Francisco. So I called the Associated Press in San Francisco and got no satisfaction. And they suggested I call the Associated Press in New York. So I called them, and they said they had no way of finding out. And I asked the woman I was talking to if she knew Hal Buell. He's vice president of Associated Press. And as you know, if you've listened to my broadcast quite a bit, there was this story that allegedly came out that Buell was a courier of cocaine money that Klaus Barbie had. Barbie began working with these people named by Hasenfuss, and that the money was deposited into Joseph Mengele's account in Switzerland, Zurich, Switzerland. And I asked this woman, do you know Hal Buell? And she said, oh, of course I know Hal Buell. And he is one of the vice presidents of Associated Press. But there was no answer there. So she suggested that I call the Associated Press in Washington, D.C., and I talked to two different people there, an Andrew Salasky and a Robert Perry, and Perry was the main person in charge of the Nicaraguan story. So he said, we don't know, we can't find out, and I told him why I wanted to know who the fourth person was, and he said, well, it's not part of a conspiracy, I can assure you. And I said, well, how can you assure me if you don't even know the name of the person? Once we know the person, we can throw it out, but how can you assure me? And he was willing to say it wasn't, that you shouldn't get too excited about these things. I called the Washington Post and talked to the news department, the persons in charge of the Nicaraguan desk in communication down there with our embassy. And they said that it was a Latino that was in the plane, and I knew that. And they said that the U.S. Embassy will not disclose the name, that the Washington Post couldn't get the name of the fourth person, that the embassy itself was holding it up. So I called the New York Times, and I asked for Jeff Girth, because he does very good work. He was out of town, and I asked for Steve Engelberg. He's another person that works along with Jeff Girth. And he acknowledged it does sound suspicious, but I don't know who he was, and I can't get the information. Now, I was trying to find out 3 weeks after the plane went down, not the day it went down. So I had an idea, maybe you call the Nicaraguan embassy in Washington, D.C., and I called persons there, and they said they didn't know. A woman named Anna I spoke to, and she said the papers have said that it was a Nicaraguan killed. He hasn't been identified yet. And she suggested I call Nicaragua and to the offices of President Ortega. So she gave me four numbers to call. Three of them, people who answered, didn't speak any English, and my Spanish isn't that good anymore. And I told another one, they were busy with the trial and so forth. This was Friday that I called them that I would call back this week. So Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll call back. So after that, I called Jack Anderson's office and left a message. I don't know if he'll call me or not. And I asked him, who is the third pilot, not third pilot, but the third passenger who was killed? Three were killed, and they won't name the other one, and that I'm going to do in a process of radio programs, link these people to Operation Condor and a series of articles that Jack wrote in 1984. And before I did it, maybe he could get some influence in finding out who that person was. And I also left a message with Jack Anderson's office because after I called the other numbers and started outlining these articles, I came across the name of Leon Mulcahy, an airplane that worked for the CIA that funded the Condors with weapons, illegally again, had an explosion in Texas October the 4th, one day before the other plane went down in Nicaragua. And there were three people on that plane that were killed, and one was from California area, San Rafael, and the other was from Sacramento, Davis area. And his name was Leon Mulcahy, and he's 60 years old, and they worked for the CIA arming the Contras. Now, those of you who have listened to the broadcast for years know the story of Kevin Mulcahy. He armed Muammar Gaddafi. He worked for the CIA. He was murdered the same week that Edwin Wilson was going to go to trial. And he had a father and two brothers that worked for the CIA. So I left a message at Jack Anderson's office. Is the person who died the day before this other plane went down, Leon Mulcahy, related to Kevin Mulcahy? Because Kevin armed Gaddafi, and there were connections between the Nicaraguan CIA airplanes arming Gaddafi and the persons that were caught in this operation are linked to funding the Contras and working not only with the Contras in Central America, but arming Gaddafi in Libya. And the name, it seems too familiar. The age could have been right. And I wondered if there was any relationship. And of course, I'm waiting to hear on that. And then I called the offices of Henry Gonzalez in Texas, because he is the lone person who's saying that the airplane that crashed out of Kelly Air Force Base on Saturday the 4th was a CIA plane arming the Contras, and he wants Congress to investigate this illegal activity. And I asked him the same thing. I spoke to the secretary and asked him to investigate if Leon Mulcahy was related to Kevin Mulcahy because of the similarity of the operations, and also who was the fourth person named. And then I called the Sacramento Bee, because that would cover the story of the late Leon Mulcahy, who died the day before the Nicaraguan plane went down, funding the Sandinistas with military weapons on a CIA airplane. And the reporter in charge of Nicaragua at the Sacramento Bee office was very angry. He said, "We're not going on a fishing expedition for you." And he said, "We have a reporter covering the trial of Mr. Hasenfuss in Nicaragua. She's located in Mexico City. And we don't want to give you her number because we just as soon not have you speaking to her." So really what all of the news agencies were saying is, don't bother us with that forced person. He's just a Latino. It's like saying a black was on the plane or a Jew. Oh, that's a Jew or a black. Never mind. It doesn't have a name. It just happens to be there. And I don't believe that Mr. Hasenfuss, with his record and with the record of the pilots that he flew with, Wallace B. Sawyer or William J. Cooper, one graduating from the Air Force Academy and long records with the Central Intelligence Agency, I don't believe that the fourth person they picked up was just a nobody with no name. And as I share with you some of the current articles that came out in the first 2 days after the crash, the United States Embassy has their names and won't release them of the deceased. And it varies from an American citizen, even though he's a Nicaraguan. We have anti-Castro Cubans who are American citizens and people from all over the world. And there's a lot of discrepancies about the matter. The head, the foreign minister, Alejandro Bendano from Nicaragua, was saying, he said, the dead men were U.S. citizens, and they're now dying in our country, and Mr. Reagan can escalate the war. The dead men were U.S. citizens, so they know in some way that they're U.S. citizens. But again, finding out who this fourth person is something that I will keep pursuing because I believe it's very, very important. Now, to get the articles, starting with October the 7th, which seems 1,000 light years away, I want to just share the highlights of those early articles and certain points about them for this particular broadcast. I don't have to give you the newspaper dates, or some I can if you want. As I say, the 7th and then on to the 8th. The Monterey Herald had "Contra plane victims may be Americans." That was the first story. A man who survived the downing of the Contra rebel plane identified himself as a U.S. military advisor in El Salvador. Three of the crewmen who are dead were Americans. This was the first account. Now, there's a lot of discrepancies in the trial. Eugene Hasenfuss has changed his mind that they weren't associated with the CIA. Now, the CIA is a whipping boy that is used over and over again. That's a figure of speech that has nothing to do with the pay, way people work or think. There is the Defense Intelligence Agency. There's just the plain Department of Defense. There is a National Security Council. There is the Defense Industry Security Command. Those are four agencies that can change the whole history of America, and they don't have to be part of the CIA. Fletcher Prouty has a very, very important article this month in Freedom Magazine on the distinction between the CIA and the Defense Department, that the CIA can start many little operations, but the laws are there that the Defense Department can take it over. So none of the people involved with Hasenfuss have to be CIA. None of the airplanes have to be CIA. They can be former CIA, like James McCord and E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis at the time of Watergate, who were in fact CIA, but who worked for the Defense Department in the National Emergency Security, which Fritz Kramer allegedly is working with now and is a part of. So to throw around the agency is to lose the point that they do, in fact, have links up to the White House, to the National Security Agency, to the Vice President, who happened to be a CIA director, but they can change their label every week. It doesn't matter. The point is that they're part of the government. But getting back to, again, the first story, it said the three crewmen were Americans. Washington Major Eugenia Thornton from the Pentagon, the spokeswoman, says she had no report on the plane incident, no identification of any individuals. This was the first day. The Houston Post said, Nicaraguans say Americans were shot down. Now, later it's going to switch that the third person that was killed was a Nicaraguan. I think the Nicaraguans would know the difference between an American and Nicaraguan, and I don't know why it's cloudy. The article says the Pentagon spokeswoman doubts Managua's claims that the survivor is a U.S. military advisor. I don't believe he's one of ours, the Pentagon said. The State Department refused to comment. The Marine guards at the U.S. Embassy in Managua refused to comment. A Soviet ground-air missile shot down a camouflage plane at 12:45 p.m. on Sunday It was a C-123 that violated national airspace 18 miles north of San Carlos near Costa Rica, 91 miles from Managua, southwest. The troops recovered 50,000 AK rifle cartridges, PG-7 grenades, dozens of rifles and boots. You may have read about those. Another story from the Houston Post, cargo plane on mission for CIA, says lawmaker. This is, again, the 7th. All these are October the 7th coming out, each one having a different story. Now, this is the account of the CIA plane, according to Henry Gonzalez, which is different than the Nicaraguan, but it came out the same day. Civilian cargo plane crashed at the Air Force Base in Texas over the weekend at Kelly Air Force Base. They were picking up explosive material destined for Contra rebels in Nicaragua. Representative Henry Gonzalez from Texas said the mission was for the Central Intelligence Agency. Such aid is not authorized yet. It's used in advance for the money they were going to get by that $100 million that was passed. It was a CIA plane contracted and owned by the company in Florida. The company that is owned is the Transamerica. It's leased and operated to Southern Air Transport, which is a CIA plane. It goes on to say that the 24,841 pounds of cargo on board included 20 rocket motors, 14 rocket catapults for seats. It was en route to Warren Robins Air Force Base in Macon, Georgia. Victims were pilot Peter Samet, 52, of San Rafael, California, Philip DeCrenzo of Stowe, Ohio, 31, and flight engineer Leon Mulcahy, 60, of Sacramento. And that is the Mulcahy that the Sacramento Bee would not say one word about. They wouldn't help me, as I say, on a fishing expedition. Now, the next day, the articles ran like this, the headlines. John Singh Laub and CIA deny involvement with the plane. The plane that was shot down was operated by a private group led by retired Army Major General John Singh Laub. It took off from El Salvador. It picked up a Nicaraguan in Honduras. It flew off the coast of Nicaragua, turned inland to deliver the ammunition. Two Americans died, Wallace Sawyer and Bill Cooper. The State Department and the CIA Defense Department denied the flight was any way connected to the United States government. Now, John Singh Laub is linked to the plane, but there's no link to the government, and yet I will share with you next week, probably by next week. Many of you might have seen it or read it over and over again. The meeting of Ronald Reagan in the White House with Lieutenant Colonel North from the National Security Council and George Bush deciding that when Congress said that the Contras couldn't have more than 28 or 27 million of humanitarian aid, that they would bypass the law and make their own private army and go ahead and arm the Contras militarily anyway. And these are the people that got caught. Singh Laub is a retired general working with the National Security Council. So one's the defense, one is the national security, and George Bush, former director of the CIA and the President of the United States. The article goes on, Sally Hassenfuss called the State Department. She said her husband worked for the CIA. He worked in Vietnam for Air America, a CIA-owned corporation. Interestingly enough, they checked at Camp Pendleton, and I'll get to that again a little further along. They had no record of him working in the Army at all. And he says he was overseas in Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam. And the paperwork says that he's non-existent in terms of working for the military. So it was a straight contract, I guess, for the CIA with a different kind of paper to it. But Hassenfuss, even though he was overseas, was not part of our Defense Department. It goes on, John Singh Laub is head of the United States Council for World Freedom, formed in 1981. And Singh Laub, the man who wanted Carter to have the neutron bomb, who wanted more troops in South Korea, formed his organization in 1981 when Ronald Reagan became president, because then, if Congress didn't give them everything they wanted, and he was working with the anti-Castro Cubans and the Somozans that were kicked out when Somoza left Nicaragua in 1980, they could head their own private army with the likes of Singh Laub and the Defense Department and do the things they were doing when they got caught a few times over, but again last week. The article goes on, Singh Laub, who formed his U.S. Council for World Freedom, allegedly had already raised $10 million privately for military supplies to insurgents and Contras. Now, Secretary of State George Shultz the next day said, it was, for all we know, a plane hired by private people. Apparently, some of them Americans. They had no connection with the United States government at all. And I want to share these individual statements that you might have read and build up a case of how many times people in our government lie over and over and just come out with these press conferences and statements, and there isn't a shred of truth in any single thing they say. Then this article continues, congressional committees, chairman, vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee were assured by the CIA that there was no American government role in the incident. Now, they come out with this kind of a denial saturating all the news media when it is common knowledge that General Singlaub sat with Lieutenant Colonel North and the president and the FBI arranging their own little private wars. The San Francisco Examiner, October the 8th, has a story. Downed Contra plane linked to retired U.S. Army general. And it goes on to tell about Singlaub Group operating cargo planes laden with guns and boots, and how Mr. Hassenfoss was able to get out in a parachute. The other three died, but his brother gave him a parachute that he used, which is interesting. I don't know if the others wore parachutes, but he conveniently got out and made a hammock in a cottage where he slept, and the troops found him later. He had survived and made, as I say, a sleeping place with his parachute. And this was one not issued by the government. Maybe the other ones were to bite the cyanide pill or whatever if they went down. But his brother, with a little bit of Noxy, didn't trust the federal government. And his brother William gave him his own parachute, and that's how Hassenfuss landed. Marie Calero, the head of the operations for NDF, which is the Nicaraguan Democratic Force, the main Nicaraguan group which the White House wants to work with, but which are closely related to the Somozan army, so that causes conflicts. He said this had not anything to do with Jack Singlaub. He wasn't involved in any way. The plane was piloted simply by U.S. mercenaries and was financed by a foreign government friendly to us. And there have been articles that followed asking, how is it if Congress says no, then someone like Singlaub and George Bush says to Israel or Saudi Arabia, give us the money because those fools in Washington who bother so hard to get elected and don't have a brain in their cell don't know what they want, so you give us the money so Saudi Arabia and the Vatican and the Knights of Malta can send what made up the $100 million that Congress wouldn't give them. So the denial comes from the head of the Contra operations. That's how much you can trust him. And then they continued, the fourth person was of a Latin origin, not identified. Well, they made a point of saying that over and over, but it's, as I say, 1 month later, and he's still Latin origin from Nicaragua, not identified. And it goes on, Hassenfuss had a card issued July 28th, from the Salvadoran Air Force, and he had access to restricted areas at the Air Force Base in El Salvador. Southern Air Transport flew supplies to the Contras. The company knew nothing about Hassenfuss or the flight. And that turned out to be a lie. Later, you read in a day or two that Southern Air Transport had everything to do, and they employed the two pilots, Wallace Sawyer and Bill Cooper, and it had everything to do. But the very first day, they're out there denying it. They said that company knew nothing about Hassenfuss. The People's World had an article October the 8th, captured U.S. flyer to face the press in Nicaragua, and they hoped that the world would learn about the 15,000 people that the Contras have murdered in the last 5 years and that these operations are run from the White House itself. And it takes a newspaper like the People's World to just come out and say that the White House runs it. The evidence is there, but very few people have the nerve to say it. The San Jose Mercury had a story, the 8th. The third crew member killed apparently was a Nicaraguan, but he was not identified. And we're still back, again, worrying who this one was. And as I say, this was a month ago that the other men were identified and John Singlaub's relationship to these people was identified. And yet the bodies of the Americans are being sent home. They were shot down and sent home. And the third victim, again, has not been identified. And his body has not been released. This was October the 10th. The body was not released. October the 8th, New York Times. Despite American denials, the Nicaraguan officials charged that the plane was operated by the CIA. The U.S. Embassy said there's no American military advisor there called Hassenfuss. They said that they wanted to see the prisoner and they wanted to view the three crew members that reportedly killed. This is on October the 8th. The American Embassy went to view the three crew members. It can't be that people as sophisticated and educated as the pilots of this plane And Mr. Hassenfuss, who's worked for the CIA for 20 years, going back to flights in Southeast Asia, he wouldn't know there's only four on the plane and they don't know the name of the fourth person. Well, if it was a Nicaraguan, they would identify him. The embassy went to see the body, but they still have not given the name. A story in the New York Times, October the 8th, outspoken general raises money for the Contras. And then they begin to say how he does, in fact, raise money, that he has a private institution, that he uses all kinds of money to help him. And the New York Times has a story, private venture and plane were down, U.S. disavows role. And they continue to say that it was a right-wing group led by Singlaub. So at first it wasn't Singlaub, he didn't know about it. And then finally the articles in the New York Times said Singlaub is affiliated with the World Anti-Communist League, of which he's current chairman. Now they leave out the fact that he's also on the board of Western Goals with Edward Teller of Star Wars and the hydrogen bomb, and with John Reese, the notorious John Reese, and a lot of other interesting characters from the Defense Department, such as Admiral Moore, a close affiliate of Henry Kissinger, and a person who was stealing papers from Richard Nixon's office for Yeoman Redford at the time of Watergate. The New York Times story on October the 8th said Singlaub was on duty in a covert union. He specialized in terrorist and guerrilla operations. Well, now, Colonel Gale also, he specialized in terrorist operations and guerrilla operations. And that Gale, who was picked up just this past week and arrested, this terrible racist anti-Semite, worked in conjunction with people like John Singlaub, a racist anti-Semite with the World Anti-Communist League, and they got their training in guerrilla action, particularly in the Pacific, and then brought it back not only to Central America and around the world, or killing people all over the world, but then brought it into the United States, where Gale is doing his terrorist activity and guerrilla operations, and John Singlaub set up the magazine Soldier of Fortune, where mercenaries and murderers can meet each other, and they're doing murders in the United States based upon introductions that they made through these magazines, through their experience in Vietnam and South Korea, and working in the Philippines and with Japanese mafia and organized crime and so forth. The foreign minister from Nicaragua said the facts are that a plane was shot down. It had an American crew. It was a United States plane. It was obviously the CIA. It's a technicality what agency they worked for. Now, one of the interesting things is an account that the weapons on this plane were Soviet weapons. This is another trick we do as agent provocateurs. We supply them with Soviet weapons so that there's a cache found or a cache of weapons. We can say, oh, look, the Russians supplied them if they take a village. Now, this happened notoriously in Grenada, where persons responsible for going through the warehouse are Maurice Bishop, were Michael Ledeen and Robert Brown, the man who runs Soldier of Fortune, working in conjunction with John Singlaub. The Washington Post, October the 8th, has this story by Julia Preston. The Nicaraguan Defense Ministry said yesterday that Soviet weapons and ammunition had been recovered from the wreckage. It was meant to resupply the anti-Sandinista rebels, and the Contras. So what you get is an airplane filled with Soviet weapons, the kind that Samuel Cummings could put in, you know, the arms supplier for all over the world. His offices are in Virginia and in London, and he supplies Soviet weapons. And then they could be left in villages where people are killed and say, well, we came in and they were shooting us with Soviet weapons. So one of the big shocking things is the agent provocateur type of activity, because these people were in charge of the Grenada papers of Maurice Bishop's desk. Michael Ledeen is tied directly into the National Security Council, to Francisco Pazienza and the P2, to Licio Gelli. He was working in Grenada, which was a sample invasion to get ready for Nicaragua, along with Robert Brown, the protege of Singlaub, and telling us how the Soviet Union poured so many weapons into Nicaragua. We have to save them from the Russians taking over. And yet the Washington Post and other articles that develop say that the plane was loaded with Soviet weapons and ammunition, and again, they could massacre people and leave them around. The Washington Post also continued, the third man picked up in Honduras was a Nicaraguan. And this goes on and on for, as you read your articles now, it's the same story. In San Salvador, the U.S. Council said they had no personnel missing, that Hassenfuss, even though he said he worked for them, was under pressure from the Nicaraguan interrogators, and they speculate he was forced to say that. Well, I'm running out of time now. I'm just leading into Nicaragua. I'll continue next week. But they were delivering Soviet weapons so that Reagan would have a chance to pour even more money in. They were denying it from the State Department, the Defense Department, from the El Salvadoran Embassy, from Washington, from George Shultz, all of them taking a story that they knew they were involved in and lying to the American people. The subject of information and disinformation is key now because of Mr. Admiral Poindexter of National Security saying that it's all right to give disinformation for other people or us if it's part of a war. And if they want to run the Contra war or have this deniability, they will continue to deny it. I'll continue updating some of the important news stories next week and then do a half hour more on Nicaragua, because as the story develops, it gets into murders, drug dealing, and as I say, the International Condor, the unit that worked in Spain at the time of the Spanish Civil War, the fascists, right up to the present crew of the plane and the people they work with now. So we'll do that next week and keep up with the other stories at the same time, I hope. In the meantime, this is Mae Bressel, and I'll be back with you next week to continue along these lines.